credit card tithes made clean, secure, and simple. Capture contactless credit card donations in person and on your website. We provide free custom online donation pages and 24/7 customer support. Learn more at karmapayments.com.
Most advice about marketing and social media is a mix of the timeless and the timely. But sometimes a disruption comes along that leads us to not simply question the timely ways we are applying timeless principles, but we must question those principles themselves. As we progress through the massive change that the coronavirus pandemic is causing, it's time to start thinking about church marketing in a new world. And that's what we're talking about on this episode of the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast. Thank you to everybody for listening. My name is Dan Wunderlich, and I'm a United Methodist pastor. And we don't normally timestamp our episodes, but for this one, it feels important to note that I'm recording this in the middle of June 2020. We just had worship solely online for the 14th Sunday in a row, and we're preparing to have our first in-person worship service at my church this coming Sunday. And as you listen to this in the summer of 2020 or beyond, you'll know better than I do now what's going to happen. But even now, it's clear that the world has changed. Here on this podcast, we try to focus on the underlying principles because the specifics of how a particular feature or even an entire social network can change. I mean, think about how different everything has been since the addition of the stories format, first bursting on the scene with Snapchat, then spreading to Instagram and Facebook. And there are specific tips to using things like the stories format effectively, but those practical tips might not even apply 6 months from now. One development I've been keeping my eye on is the rise of video-only platforms like TikTok. But at the end of the day, success on TikTok can be driven by the same principles as success on Facebook, even if the application may look completely different. But the kind of change that the pandemic is creating is much, much bigger. And we need to be thinking much, much deeper. So, for example, the debate over whether an image post or a video post is more effective in getting people to come to church is kind of missing the point if some people you're trying to reach won't even consider stepping foot inside a worship service anytime soon. And it's not just health related. It isn't just that people won't feel safe with a crowd inside until there's a vaccine. Worshiping solely online for 3 months or possibly a year or more for those waiting on a vaccine, that's going to change the way people view and interact with the church. And of course, our relationship to the church isn't compartmentalized from the rest of our life or culture. The impact this is having on every other aspect of our life must be something that we take into consideration as we move forward as church communicators. And that leads me to the first of five pairs of issues I think we need to take serious time to think and pray about. I'm going to touch on each briefly to get the discussion started, but if there are any of these you'd like us to dig deeper on in a future episode, let us know by emailing podcast@umcom.org. The first set of ideas is balancing new narratives with legacy needs. You know, there's a narrative embedded in every message we send out. Sometimes we bring it to the surface when we use literal storytelling or the principles of storytelling, but there is always a story. And when you go back and look at your website headline or the subject lines of some of your church emails or the sermon series you've promoted or even your tagline for Christmas and Easter back in 2019, what story were they telling? Would they still connect today? Would they maybe ring a bit hollow? Do they speak to a world that, for all intents and purposes, no longer exists? Ideally, the narrative we present is one that resonates for people in their current context. Now, I'm not saying that we just repeat the messages of culture, but our messaging doesn't happen in a vacuum. When we understand what's going on in the world and in people's hearts and minds, we can speak into their lives all the more effectively. Now, just a few months ago, we lived in a world where we were overwhelmed with choices. We lived in a FOMO world, fear of missing out. As we went about our day, we were constantly wondering if there was something else going on we should be doing or would rather be doing. The church needed to speak to a world with too many options and not enough time. But during the stay-at-home phase of the pandemic, our number of options got a lot smaller. Many people have come to see how truly distracted, overloaded, and tired they were. And in not being able to do so much, it helped many people see what they truly missed and what they maybe didn't miss as much as they thought they would. What was truly meaningful and what wasn't. This is a much different world that will resonate with a much different story. At the same time, we need to remember what I'm calling legacy needs. Just because the world has changed and the cultural narrative through which we see the world may be different, it doesn't mean we've all been instantaneously rewired. Now that we're offering streaming worship and online Bible studies and small groups, we may be tempted to tell a story of how convenient and easy it is to get connected to our churches. And look, there are people who have needed this even from before the pandemic, from those who work on Sundays to snowbirds to the homebound to those who travel or the parents at soccer fields on Sunday mornings. But we have to remember that no one, not even these folks, are logging onto your online offering simply because it's easy. They're logging on because they want to connect with a Christian community, hear the word read and proclaimed, and be shaped as a disciple. You're making it easy and more convenient certainly facilitates that process, and that's great, and they need to know that those options are available. But that's not the underlying need. There's an old marketing parable about a hardware store. They may stock hammers and nails, but what they're selling is the feeling customers get when they see the picture they've hung on the wall using that hammer and nails. In the same way, we may be offering the ability to watch worship or join a small group from anywhere in the world, but for someone to want that, there is an underlying need or desire. And if we can touch on that need or desire in a way that resonates within these new narratives, we're going to make much more meaningful connections. Now, I spent a little bit more time on this first point than I will on the rest, but this one is really foundational. This one is going to take a bit more time and effort, if for no other reason than we're still in the midst of this big transition. We don't know where this is all going to end up, but this is something we do need to dig into. The next pair of ideas is about the delivery of our messaging. It's balancing on-demand with live interactive experiences. On-demand has for a long time felt like a luxury. It's even been a bit of a sign of our own self-centeredness. We want what we want when we want it. I can think of multiple sermons, including some of my own, where on-demand has become an example of things that damage our ability to have patience, which is a fruit of the Spirit, and I don't disagree with that. However, paradoxically, though our schedules and the ability to get out of the house have been impacted during the pandemic, it doesn't necessarily mean we are more available at specific times. Also, as more and more has been pushed online from church to school to work to family interactions, we've been seeing burnout with online meetings and webinars and videos and the like. The ability to access a recording or a replay of something means that I can choose when it's best for me to watch. And sometimes that is because I'm a bit self-centered and I'd rather be doing something else the first time the thing happens. Other times, it's because I value the content and I want to be able to watch it or listen to it when I know I can fully engage and not when I'm burned out from staring at a screen with headphones in. At the same time, there is value in live interactive experiences. Using a platform for streaming worship that allows synced viewing and interactive comments helps make the service feel more alive. Using the premiere feature or watch party feature on Facebook can allow a pre-recorded video or even a replay of an actual live video to function like a live video. But even better is when the person who's leading the service can see and respond to some of the comments in real time. Bible studies or small groups via video conferencing platforms can be powerful in a different way than just a videotaped devotion. Though we've moved so much online, we need to remember that we're more than a content factory. We need to learn to balance making resources available while also ensuring that a community can be built or strengthened around these resources.
And now, a word from our sponsor. Contactless technology makes tithes clean and easy. Safely and securely accept credit and debit card donations on your website and in person with a self-serve digital collection device. We provide free custom online donation pages and 24/7 customer support. Our leading-edge technology seamlessly integrates with your operations. Cashless donation kiosks are modern offering baskets. No hand-to-hand contact with people or currency required. Accept one time or recurring tithes anytime, anywhere. Learn how at karmapayments.com. And now back to our show.
Thirdly, we need to have both a broad reach and a narrow focus. In the first few weeks of the pandemic, it hit me. For the most part, I was using the same tools and technology to engage my church as Jimmy Fallon was using to host his late night show, or John Legend was using to stream an acoustic concert from his living room. For all intents and purposes, the playing field has been leveled. Now, yes, some churches may have streams that look better or have more camera angles. Yes, some churches may have a way to include their full band while you can only have one person. And yes, this does mean that it's now just as easy for your church members to check out another church, but it's also just as easy for someone hundreds of miles away to participate in your worship service to the same degree as someone right down the street. Certainly during the pandemic, many of us see our online offerings as vital, but will that continue if and when we reach a time when in-person gatherings are safe again? Does streaming worship continue? Do online Bible studies and small groups continue? Do the videos or prayer times or other virtual resources and experiences continue? Do they feel as personal as they do now, or are you just going to set up a camera in the corner while the focus is solely on those that are there in the room? At the same time, we need to make sure that we don't fall into the biggest trap in advertising and marketing. When you try to reach everybody, you reach nobody. Broad reach is about our ability to find more people who will connect with what we're doing, not necessarily about changing the heart and focus of what we're doing. Particularly when practically every church is online, not to mention every band, every comedian, every politician, every celebrity, we feel the need to stand out. And this may seem counterintuitive, but we're stand out better by narrowing our focus. We're likely to make deeper and more meaningful connections and affect greater change in more people's lives when we know exactly who we want to serve. Our fourth set of ideas is making sure we have a capacity for crowds while also communicating for living rooms. Thankfully, platforms like Facebook Live and other streaming services make it really easy to reach tons of people. It doesn't guarantee that tons of people will tune in, but they could. And the capacity that I'm talking about is more than just the sheer number of participants. Can you serve and connect with the people who are watching? Do you have a process or resources in place to follow up with those who engage? Do you have a team of volunteers who can act as hosts in the chat of a live video to interact with those following along? This kind of interaction is important. It helps extend the kind of welcome and hospitality we would normally expect of greeters, ushers, or a prayer team at an in-person service. And we need to make sure that we are ready to serve the number of people who are going to show up. On the flip side, and this is something we've definitely addressed on this podcast before, we need to ensure that we're communicating as if it's a one-to-one or one-to-few conversation. Now, don't be fooled by that little number displaying how many people are watching live. Even if you had 1,000 devices tuned in, how many are individuals watching it, say, on their phone? How many are individual families streaming it through their TV? Even if the comments are active and people know that there are lots of other people watching, all of the natural feedback around them tells them that they are alone or with a very small group. By envisioning one person or a small group on the other side of that digital connection, particularly if we're live streaming or recording specifically and not just showing what's going on in a room with a crowd, it makes it feel much more like a personal connection. And that is the true power of this set of ideas. We can make what functions as a very personal connection work with a large number of people with very little added effort. Finally, we need to demonstrate technical proficiency while also keeping the mission front and center. Pop quiz, when streaming or filming a video, which is more important, image quality or sound quality? The answer is sound quality. People will sit through a lower resolution video if they can understand the speaker far longer than they'll watch a high-def video with great lighting and terrible sound. At the same time, virtually all of us will, and probably have at one time or another, clicked away from a video or live stream when we've run out of patience with technical difficulties or other interruptions. The more things move online, the more experience people will have with online offerings, and the less they're going to be willing to put up with constant issues. Most people don't expect perfection, and particularly if a church starts to look a little too slick or overproduced, it can take away from the feeling of authenticity. But if we're going to use these tools, we also need to learn how to use them well. At the same time, we need to remember our mission and keep it front and center, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. This is, of course, true of all marketing. But when you go down the rabbit hole of what's possible in the realm of tech or the internet, we can get really deep really fast. It's easy to spend a lot of money on equipment or software or subscription services that we think we need. And we do need some of them, but we maybe don't need all of them. If we reach the point of diminishing returns when it comes to time and or money invested, we need to be able to recognize that and say, we have enough to do what we need to do for now. And now, listeners, we want to hear from you. Which of these issues are you currently thinking through? How do you think church marketing and communications will need to change as we live into this new normal? Email us at podcast@umcom.org, and we just might share your story on a future episode. And of course, you can use that email, podcast@umcom.org, to send us any feedback or topic suggestions you have for the show. We always love hearing from you. Finally, if you found this podcast to be helpful and you'd like to make sure other church communicators like yourself find this resource, the two biggest things you can do are to share this episode with your friends and colleagues and leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or whatever service you're listening to us on right now. Thanks again for listening to the MyCom Church Marketing Podcast.